101. When you're lost and lonely in the dark, take a tip from Shelley, Bruce, and Mark. Tune in, tune up. Recovery 101. You'll find the booze in use. We'll help you lose the blues.
We don't throw rules at you.
Well, except rule 62.
When you get that urge and feel that need, don't go drinking shots or smoking weed. Tune in, tune up. Insanity can be fun at Recovery 101.
Thank you to the Phil Philharmonic orchestral version of the Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANEOACAGAPASLASLAACRRMMDRAHAMOUSE. We don't speak for any of the guys. We don't even speak that well for ourselves, which if you listen all the time, you already know. Welcome
right.
to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B. As always with
Shelley.
And special guest host
Zach G.
Zach G. That's Zach Gangster, for people that don't know.
Zach OG.
Yes, you know what I just thought of?
No.
It would be a really good name for Phil's band.
What?
Phil and the Harmonics.
Phil and the Harmonics.
Oh, oh, oh.
Okay. By the way, if you want to do a Recovery 101 Idol, Recovery Idol, you can still send us jingles and stuff. Our friend Rusty Golden, who does some of our lead-out music now, said he's going to do one. Still waiting on that. But who knows? By the time this goes up, we might have it.
We might, because this won't go up for like 2 weeks.
Well, you never know.
As usual.
Yeah.
As usual. So, Shelley, how was your day today?
It was a day. And it ain't over yet.
Still sober?
Still sober.
It's yes. A good day.
Okay.
I ain't dead yet, so there's hope.
How's your day, Zach?
Pretty good. Wife's birthday.
Oh.
Happy birthday to her.
Happy birthday. And
she's in
Arizona. And did a little step work, so.
Yes, you did.
What can you get better than that?
Well, you could have done a little step work in Tahiti.
That's true.
That would be a little better.
It feels like we're in Florida, though, so.
Dude, it feels like Georgia right here. I remember I worked with a company, and they were moving everyone to Georgia, and everyone was just raving about they're buying these houses that are like 12-bedroom, like these southern mansions, and they're buying them for $200,000. And I'm like, that sounds fabulous. And this one guy's like, dude, every time I walk outside, it's like someone just like hit me with a hose, but it's not raining. And I'm like, that bad? And he goes, yeah.
Yeah.
That
I bought a mansion, but it was in Georgia.
Yeah, I bought a mansion, but it was in Georgia.
Yeah, but you get used to it. I mean, I don't mind the humidity so much, so I would be okay. But I spent a lot of years in my childhood in a very humid climate, so.
You know what I used to love? The people that say, it's not the heat, it's the humidity. I used to live in Phoenix. In Phoenix,
yeah.
It's the freaking heat.
It's the 115. It doesn't matter if it's humid or not.
Yeah, it doesn't matter because you're going to sweat like a dog in 115, no humidity.
Yeah, you create your own humidity.
I remember when I was a kid, we'd be walking across the blacktop, and you could feel your tennis shoes sticking to the blacktop. And everyone used to laugh because you'd look at the bottom of your tennis shoes, and your tennis shoes would look black because it would just, you'd be going across the parking lot and be like,
you get a nice new tread like the topic
tonight. You could literally fry an egg on the sidewalk.
Yes.
And it worked really, really good if you cracked that egg on the hood of someone's car.
Mm-hmm.
And when I look back on it, I'm like, how many paint jobs did we destroy? More than a few.
More than a few, yes.
So Mark is not here tonight because he's speaking.
I don't care about that.
That's one of the many things you don't care about?
That's one of the many things. Of all the things I don't care about, that is right up there on the list. I'm filling in for Mark.
How do you really feel, Shelley?
Well, no, that's not how I really feel.
Shelley, don't sugarcoat it.
Mark sits here on the show. See, for our listeners, Zach is back.
Yes, formerly known as Zach Attack.
Formerly known as Zach Attack. But he hasn't actually sat in on a recording thing before. Mark is our resident I don't give a crap person.
Yes.
Well, no matter what you say, I don't care.
I hate newcomers and I don't give a crap. Although we know that's not really true about newcomers.
Really? Do we?
He sponsors tons of people.
That's not for them.
Yeah, but if you sponsor people, then you are definitely caring about newcomers, or you wouldn't be sponsoring them. You'd be out there shooting them all.
No, so I'm just filling in for Mark.
Okay. You know. So Shelly doesn't care today.
No, I don't care. I don't give a crap.
So you know what that means. It's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze. That was awesome.
We rock.
Almost like we know what we're doing.
Zach, almost.
Right in from the side, like, wow.
Yes, Bruce is doing the news tonight because I've had a migraine for 2 weeks and I can't manage
and
it.
And Mark never does the news, so.
Mark never does the news, so.
Mark has never done the news, I don't think. I need to look someone up because I can't remember the first name, and I have to put them in the shout outs. His name is Lee. Shout outs to Damon, Bill, John, Dan, Lee, Stryker, Joey, Alexandra, Angie, Phil, M, Brian, Phil, K, Cindy, Georgette, Natalie, Dakota, James, Jack, Lori, Faith, Mark, S, and Randy.
Woohoo! We got us a posse.
Now, here's a story from Bill. It's not exactly boozy news, and it's not exactly really current news, but it's unusual news. There have a student has discovered a brand new insect in California, and it's a firefly.
What?
Now, even though there are fireflies in Southern California, there's not a lot of fireflies.
There are no fireflies. I've never seen a firefly here.
No.
Despite a common misconception that few fireflies live in the U.S. West, they're less abundant, less conspicuous, but they are out there. And if you're a little bit more to the outside, the more lightly polluted areas of Southern California, they have them. But this guy at UC Riverside Entomology Research Museum, this student went out, found this thing, and never seen anything like it, takes it in. This is the first time the student's been out in the field, finds a brand new insect. And this guy who's worked at the Entomology Museum, who's worked there for like 40 years, has never found anything new. And he's like, that's amazing. And the guy says, hey, it's like having lightning in a bottle. He's like, he goes, let me tell you something. Discovering a new insect sure looks good on the job resume.
Well, it's always better to be lucky than smart.
That's true.
I don't know about that. Because if you're smart, you can make your own luck.
A blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while?
Every once in a while, yeah. Okay. But the smart squirrel can find one more often.
A dead clock is right twice a day?
A giant clock.
Giant clock. I'll smack you with my giant clock.
Yeah,
he wasn't here for that story either.
That was a great story.
That was a great story.
Guy went around with this giant clock.
Naked guy.
He's walking around with this giant clock.
Assaulting people.
In Germany?
Yeah.
Assaulting people with this giant clock.
Giant clock.
Yes.
Giant clock. This one from me. A mass brawl broke out at a wedding reception.
Well, that's not unusual.
Resulted in 7 arrests, including the groom.
Okay, that's unusual.
The bride was treated in the hospital for alcohol poisoning and dehydration.
Probably
alongside
not
of several teenage guests.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
And
somebody's
this is where the thing comes from, because well, the groom, first of all, Nicholas, must be Greek, Papoutsis, challenged all the cops to a drunken brawl.
Oh.
25 officers from 16 different agencies were at this thing, so it was a big thing. They needed that many people to break it up. 7 people got arrested. Now, it started because someone was pissed because someone was letting their 14-year-old drink, who got extremely drunk. His blood alcohol level was twice the legal driving limit for an adult, and they broke out when they were telling the mom she shouldn't do that, and she clocked one of them, and that's how the brawl started.
With her big clock.
With her big clock, yeah. I can't say that that's that unusual, because we have heard of a wedding reception that was, the brawl was better than that.
Cops.
There were lobsters flying.
Oh.
Cops said, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, cops. Lobsters flying, and someone pulled a gun.
Now it's a party.
Oh, yeah, it was a party. That was in Vegas. Cops who went there said, we went there with the intent of telling everyone to leave and go home, but unfortunately that didn't happen. They stun gunned one guest twice. Because apparently they stunned him once and it didn't stun him.
He was too drunk. Wait a minute.
He grabbed one of the officer's groins.
Oh, that's always fun.
He's going for his clock?
Yeah.
Now, wait a minute. I have a question. If somebody is like really, really, really drunk, like they're just saturated in booze, and you stun them, could you set them on fire?
Can you what?
Set them on fire.
Oh, you mean like by using a taser?
Yeah.
Maybe can you imagine? The guy spills Everclear on himself. You tase him, just lights him up like a candle.
They will get a lot of money for that.
I think you would. Now, Elizabeth, our good friend Elizabeth sent this.
Yes.
This is a freaking riot. Pregnant Texas woman claims she was raped by a pig. Angie Houston told the Ellis County News she expects to give birth to a baby pig. If you saw her, that could happen regardless.
You think so?
Yes.
She alleges that one night she came home from a night of playing miniature golf and was pounced on and raped by a 400-pound boar named Pete.
Wait a minute. The fact that she knows she's on a first-name basis with the boar, I'm thinking maybe something was going on before then.
Yes.
Here's a quote from her. People think I'm crazy and need mental help because of my story.
Yes, we
do.
They
ask, how would the pig get my panties off to mount me? She goes, well, I wasn't wearing any panties is how.
Wait a minute. Wait. She went out to play miniature golf with no underwear on.
It was humid.
I did that the other day.
You always go commando. Okay, this is a woman. Women don't run around without underwear.
Okay, well, listen to this. There's more. This is more of her quote. This pig has been hot for me for years. Constantly sniffing at my genitals.
See, that's what I'm saying. She's on a first-name basis
with
her. He's
tried to rape me 100 times. This is just the first time he successfully got inside me. Angie's parents are supporting her claims.
Really?
Angie knows she can't have sex until she's married, and she promises she has her father.
Oh, there's the story.
He's always been an ornery pig, so it's not surprising he raped our daughter.
He raped our daughter.
There's more happening in this family than
their family tree goes in a straight line.
And the guy says, after this incident, I damn butchered Pete out. So he the bacon I made him into is helping feed Angela and her new baby. After all, she's eating for two now and needs a lot of extra meat.
Wow.
She's refused to see an obstetrician to check her and the baby's health or get a sonogram to see what the potential pig baby might look like. Now, this is the chick who's claimed she's not going to have sex until she's married. Who's claiming now that her pregnancy is a result of being raped by Pete the pig.
You know who's camped out on her doorstep? The Weekly World News.
Oh, I'm telling you.
The Onion.
Yes, they will be there until she gives birth, where they will, you know, herald the arrival of
breaking
the pig
news. Pig baby.
Yes.
Now, here's the final quote from her. I just want to wait and be surprised by what my baby looks like. Angie said, let me do this right. I just want to wait and be surprised by what my baby pig looks like, Angie said. My hope is that it's not a mutant pig of some kind, and it just comes out looking like a normal human baby, which I feel will be the case.
Of course it will, because she's lied to her parents, and her parents are stupid enough to believe it.
Well, the moral I learned from that story is, and I learned this in person, don't sit behind Bruce in a meeting when he has ripped pants on. Because there's nothing under there.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
Yeah, those pants.
That was an exciting evening. I threw those pants away when we got home.
Here's one I found. This was on CNN. They're doing the whole gay pride thing when being able to be married and all that they're at this big gay pride parade. And CNN reports that they're flying an ISIS flag.
Oh my God, this was hilarious.
This guy is walking around with an ISIS flag. And you can clearly see the flag in this video.
And they're serious about this report.
And I'm looking at it, and the woman's saying, you know, it's just a representation of an ISIS flag because it doesn't look like it's real words, like they're symbols that are maybe gobbledygook. They are pictures that are all along this flag that it's a black and white flag like an ISIS flag. They are clearly butt plugs and dildos.
Yes. You know, because in the middle of the ISIS flag, there's like Arabic script.
Yeah.
Instead of the Arabic script, they're like silhouettes of butt plugs and vibrators and like anal beads and stuff.
I seem to be the only person in the whole place to take notice of this ISIS flag. And then this guy says, the geniuses over CNN spent 4 minutes talking about how ISIS had infiltrated a gay pride parade to wave an ISIS flag. The only problem is the flag clearly shows butt plugs and dildo symbols. You're looking that up right now, aren't you?
I was going to, yeah.
Yes.
let's see here. Elizabeth sent another one. Meth deal gone wrong. Guy stabbed him in the nose.
Stabbed him in the nose.
Yeah.
That's a weird place to stab somebody.
Well, especially if you're dealing a meth, because maybe they're smoking it, because it seems like you're getting rid of your clientele if you're going to stab him in the nose if he's going to snort.
Yes.
So he must be a smoker. He was attempting to purchase meth, and the detectives say the victim may have owed the dealer money from before.
You think?
He might have.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
But that was a short story. That's all it was.
No, nothing exciting. No people running around in tutus or, you know,
Austin,
being
Texas.
Pig babies. Nothing.
From what? Brian.
Where?
Austin, Texas.
Okay.
Couple faces child endangerment that had a little bit too much to drink.
Couple
faces child endangerment.
Child endangerment what?
They had a little bit too much to drink.
Do you mean charges?
Yes, charges. Yes.
Okay.
Child endangerment charges, yes.
Child endangerment fun.
Grammar Nazi. So they were pretty drunk.
Yeah.
They thought it'd be much safer to have their 13-year-old daughter drive them home.
Well, it's 50-50.
In my family, that would have been true, because my sister could... She was pretty much the one who taught me to drive a stick, and she was 9 at the time. My mom was completely not paying any attention. She's listening to Prince on her headphones and throwing like wet paper towel wads out the window at passing cars. And my sister's in the back seat of the Pinto telling me, no, just a little bit more gas. You know, take your other foot off the other thing.
Yes. Like,
so, and she was 9. So that might work.
So the cops get a call that there's someone reckless driving on the freeway, having trouble keeping it between the lanes. Going 25 to 30 miles an hour in a 70-mile-an-hour zone.
Oh.
They pull her over. Oh. To their surprise, it's a little girl driving the car. With the 50-year-old mother and father and 7-year-old sister in the car. They admit that they've been at Club Vongos. Why they're there with their 13-year-old and their 7-year-old.
Yeah, where were the kids while they were in the club?
But they thought it would be safer to have their 13-year-old drive them because, you know, they were drunk.
Well, they were right on the border. Their heart was in the right spot. They didn't want to drink and drive. But there's, you know, Uber.
And they say, here's the
problem.
They could
have called a friend.
Yeah.
There's no charges for the little girl because she's just doing what her parents told her to.
Well, good.
Parents, though, it's also not their first time.
Oh, my gosh. They've done this before?
Well, he was arrested for DWI in 86 and 90. Had 3 more in 91, and had the 6th time in May of 2002. So he thought it'd be better if he didn't drive.
So it would be better to be strung up for child endangerment rather than another DWI, I guess, Becky.
Well, I guess so, yeah.
So he's just picking his poison there.
Yeah. But the real story is, why were the kids there anyways?
Yeah, where were they while the parents were in this club? Were they just waiting in the car?
See, they would have got the child endangerment anyways because they were just sitting in the car.
Outside of a club.
So, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh.
Now,
I'll be
he's
back.
Been in support of the gay marriage thing. Matter of fact, on his Facebook, he has a picture of himself as the Terminator with that colored
rainbow thingy.
Yes. I must say, I saw a thing the other day and it said, I don't know about anyone else's timeline, but my timeline looks like a war between the Confederacy and Skittles Factory.
Newsfeed, not timeline.
Confederate flag stories or
no, your timeline
stories.
Is on your wall. The newsfeed is the thing that everybody else feeds into. The timeline is your timeline on Facebook.
Touche.
So some guy commented.
I don't have Facebook.
That's some guy commented on Arnold's picture and said, "What's wrong with you, Arnie? I'm going to have to unlike you."
I'll say it the right way.
And the bodybuilder turned around and he wrote a thing back that said, "Hasta la vista." So, apparently the fan won't be back.
Won't be back. Not back. Bach.
Here's an update. This is from Phil K. Filk.
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 Remember the woman who is getting the complaints from the neighbor for having the relentlessly gay yard?
Yes, the relentlessly gay yard. That cracked me up. Oh, my gosh. I love that.
Fill me in real quick.
Oh, yeah. Okay, there's a woman back east, Massachusetts, I think. She made these lantern lights for her yard out of mason jars, and she just puts this like colored dye in there and shakes it up, and then she puts glow sticks. I don't know exactly, but they're really cute. I mean, they're really beautiful, and like people are saying, oh, how did you make those? Yeah. She's gonna make a tutorial, put it on YouTube. But one of her neighbors sent a letter to her asking that she desist with the decorating in her yard because she was becoming relentlessly gay, and that was a Christian neighborhood and there were children present.
Yeah, here's the quote. Your yard is becoming relentlessly gay. Myself and others in the neighborhood ask that you tone it down. This is a Christian area and there are children. Keep it up and I will be forced to call the police on you. You need to have respect for God. And then it was signed a concerned homeowner.
Yeah. Now, this woman is a 70-year-old widow with grandchildren who come over to her house.
Okay.
So, Julie Baker, she's 47.
No, 47.
Julie Baker has lived in the area for 20 years. So
she's my
she
age.
Started a GoFundMe page.
No, a friend of hers started it, I think.
Okay. They got $17,000 the first day.
Because they want to give her money so that she can do more renovations to make her yard even more relentlessly gay.
Oh, no.
Gay.
You know what she's going to do?
What?
She goes, yes, I started this fundraiser so I can work to make my home even more relentlessly gay. And she goes, I'm gonna make my roof rainbow. So she's gonna do her entire roof is gonna be rainbow with the $17,000 she got from GoFundMe.
She's trying to get a sponsorship from Skittles.
Yeah, really. Taste the rainbow.
Okay, now, not to be outdone by Pete the pig, you know, the brazen rapist pig.
Okay.
Comes Florida.
What? Florida?
This is a story from Florida.
Florida. Thank you. I don't do the Florida.
Florida woman facing bestiality charges says the dog did it all on his own.
Oh, jeez.
A Florida woman is accused of being engaged in sexual activities with a pit bull. Earlier this month, a detective discovered 17 photos of a dog performing oral sex on the 18-year-old Ashley L. Miller. Apparently she's 18, so they could say Ashley L. Miller.
Yes.
According to the arrest report obtained by the Smoking Gun, the photos were found on Miller's cell phone in a folder titled Two-Face Fun. The dog's name is Two-Face. Miller allegedly told the detective she never forced the dog to give her oral sex, and then he did it all on his own.
So she just laid there with her legs open and...
Yeah. Now, the dog showed no signs of injury. It was taken to a vet as a precaution.
They dogs eat their own poop. Why would he be in danger?
They learned of the explicit photos during a sexual battery investigation. And she was arrested with two misdemeanor counts of sexual activities involving animals. Huffington Post tried to contact the police. They were not talking about the case.
Now, could you see any peanut butter in the pictures?
I thought about that same thing.
Now,
because Bruce, you might be in trouble.
Yeah, he might. Well, now, we would not have even really heard about that story until a couple of years ago. We started hearing a flood of bestiality stories from Florida because up until a couple of years ago, bestiality was not illegal in Florida.
Oh. Well, that'll do it.
Yeah, so they made it
what was
illegal.
The one, Christine Brinkley?
Christine Brinkley, yes.
Yep. Recount the story of Christine Brinkley.
You do it better than I do.
This guy takes his dog, this Great Dane, into the vet. And he tells the vet, the dog doesn't seem to be enjoying sex. And the vet says, maybe try a different stud service or something. Maybe, you know, a different dog. And the guy says, no, I mean with me. This is his dog named Christine Brinkley.
Yes.
So.
Oh.
He can always say he's been banging Christine Brinkley, I guess.
Right.
Really,
and he's like, she just
Billy Joel off, I guess.
She just seems so depressed and not as excited to see me as she used to be.
Lee, our friend, our Canuck friend from Canada.
Okay.
Police apprehend threatening werewolf.
What?
Barrie, Ontario, a threat is a threat, even if the threat is to turn into a werewolf to seek revenge. Police in Barrie, Ontario said they took a man into custody Monday after he was found roaming the neighborhood at 2 a.m., telling people to beware the next full moon when he'll return as a werewolf to take care of business. Police said the man was on probation orders not to consume drugs or carry weapons, and it seemed like he was violating
that.
Both. The man, whose name and age were not released, was charged with breaching his probation. And I had to say, it's an American Werewolf in Barry.
An American Werewolf in Barry?
The only thought I have about that story is the picture I saw today that said horror movies are a lot less scarier when you're rooting for the bad guy to win.
Sure. Well, look at all the Jason movies.
Because that is really just entertaining.
Everybody wants Jason to win.
I don't. I've never seen a Jason movie.
Okay,
I don't,
we got
we
two
never
more.
Will.
We got two more. We're going to file this one under... Ooh, that's going to leave a mark.
Uh-oh.
Runaway saw blade rolls down the highway and slices a truck.
Oh!
Narrowly missing the driver.
Oh, my gosh.
A man in
wow,
China...
Wow, how fast was the saw blade
going?
...was
driving
going?
Down the Chongqing... Guizhou Expressway. And a giant circular saw blade 5 feet in diameter came careening off a truck, bouncing down the freeway.
That'll leave a mark.
The yeah, runaway well. Blade diced 40 inches through the hood of this guy's truck and lodged itself in the engine, perilously close to the driver's
it
seat.
It slices. It dices.
Yes,
it chops, breaks, and mutilates. But wait, there's more. Order now and get the fabulous Freddy Ginsu glove. So the guy wasn't hurt at all, but he said he's found a newfound zeal for life.
I thought it was going to be a newfound respect for 5 foot saw blades.
For bladed weapons, yeah.
It said, thankfully, Zhang was unhurt in the accident, albeit quite shaken.
Not stirred.
And then this is the last one. I found this one. You won't believe this.
I bet I will.
EWE.
Oh, you as you. In like a sheep. You. Oh.
Police have found the stolen sheep that was missing from the local zoo.
I didn't know there was one.
Being kept captive in the local brothel.
Uh-oh.
Officers in Germany made the unusual discovery during a drug raid on the premises of the brothel. The lamb was stolen from the Nuremberg Zoo, 170 miles from Munich, under the orders of a prostitute who is said to have a fetish for sheep.
Who goes to the zoo to see a sheep?
Yeah.
I wondered that same thing. The first thing I thought of, what was that movie? We have a zoo, or we're making a zoo, Brad.
Yeah. We bought a zoo.
Yeah, we want a zoo. I'm like, yeah, that sounds like something. I got a zoo that's got lambs in it. The two-month-old
that sounds like a farm
Rosie
to me.
Is now back with their herd after a spell in police custody. She's doing wonderfully. It doesn't say she had no signs of stress from her adventure, and they're not saying what the adventure was. What is this, the bestiality report today?
I guess so.
She's back with the herd, so there's a herd of sheep at the zoo.
Yeah.
That's what you go watch.
Okay, it sounds like a farm to me, but call me
crazy.
She
was born at the end of April and had to be fed by keepers when her mother did not suckle properly. I'm only hoping that this chick at the brothel wasn't pregnant with suckling the... I don't even want to think about that.
Well, wait a minute. So there's a woman at the brothel, and she wants to have sex with a sheep, so she picks up a female sheep.
Yep.
So she's a gay sheep lover.
Apparently. They also seized marijuana and drug paraphernalia. The prostitute has been banned from owning animals.
Now, see, when you said that there was a sheep at this brothel, I'm thinking, okay, is this like a glory hole kind of situation? They just, like, take guys into a dark room and, you know, I mean, because then you wouldn't be able to see.
Do you remember our friend Fausto?
Oh, geez.
He went to the L.A.
Oh,
County
no.
Fair, and his uncle had told him, have you ever looked at the vagina on a sheep? And Fausto's like, no, I really haven't. And he goes, I'm telling you, they look just like human vaginas. So they're over at, like, the petting zoo or something, and Fausto is looking at the ass end of the sheep, and he looks and he goes, oh, my God. So he goes to tell his wife, he goes, oh, my God, it looks just like a female vagina. And he looks up, and his wife and kids are, like, walking the other way, and there's another family standing there. And that, my friends, is the end of the boozy news, and the news not fit for booze. Awesome.
Looking for a new mattress? Not sure where to go or how to start? Want to make sure you get the best mattress for your money and one that will give you years of sleeping pleasure? There's only one answer, and that is Dreamland Discount Mattress in Covina. At Dreamland, Bruce and his dedicated team will ensure that you find the right mattress at the right price that will give you years of sleeping comfort. Dreamland Discount Mattress offers a wide range of options, styles, and choices, all at up to 80% off. Want to hear what many of their customers are saying about them? Check them out on Yelp to learn why you should become a satisfied customer of Dreamland Discount Mattress, too. Go by and visit them at 1007 North Azusa Avenue in Covina, or give them a call at 626-331-8044. And remember, at Dreamland Discount Mattress, prices are always up to 80% off.
Recovery 101, clean and sober, internet radio, yeah.
We're back. Welcome back, Shelley.
Yes, we are back.
Welcome back, Mark.
Mark. Okay. I don't care about that.
Mark.
God, he hates that.
Yeah, he does.
And he's not even the one it started for.
No.
It started for our other friend, Mark, who's inside the other part of the studio.
No,
right now.
Actually, it did not.
Oh, no, it started for
Dr. Mark. Yeah, but he only came around because he was in between residencies. He was in between his residency and when he was finished because he was
a
doctor.
I ran into him. I won't say at what facility, but I ran into him at a medical facility. And I'm like, oh, they'll let anybody work here. And he's like, oh, hey, how you doing?
Yeah, and then so he was only in the area for a while, and then he moved when he got his new, after his residency was over, he got his new job. So he was only with us for maybe 3 or 4 months.
And we use that for every Mark in the world.
Yes, and now,
Mark.
And then we started doing it for Stoker.
Mike got it for
and
us.
Mike.
You know what it comes from?
What?
Affleck.
Oh. Where they'd have the
Affleck.
Affleck. Mark. So we have a topic, Shelley.
Well, I sure hope so, because that was really riveting, I'm sure.
Better a retread than a blowout.
Yay. And why do we have this topic, Bruce?
Because we have Zach.
Oh, hi.
Yay. Zach is back.
Well, and me and you.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a retread, but I'm sort of a... What do you want
to call it? A slow leak.
More of a slow leak, yeah.
You had the lamest going out story ever.
I know.
She drank an entire bottle of vodka.
In like 30 seconds.
An entire bottle.
Yeah.
And then threw it up?
Airline bottle.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was an airline bottle.
And she didn't throw it up.
Yeah, I did.
Oh. Yeah.
Like 10 minutes later.
1 ounce of vodka, then threw it up and blew her sobriety.
I didn't even get a buzz. I was so pissed.
And how much time did you throw away on that one?
6 months.
Oh.
Okay. How much time did you throw away?
6 months.
Now, and Zach and I were talking about this earlier. I was a retread many times.
Many times.
But it's funny because, and I don't think this is speaking out of school, but we were working on step one, and I was asking Zach what is different this time than last time.
Yes.
And what did you come up with that you basically got a bunch of yets?
Yes. Well, you told me right what was different, and then I basically just came up with a list of stuff I thought I never was going to do.
And you did.
Yeah. So once I realized I did those.
Now, when you went out, tell me about when you first went out. What was the very first drink you had? How did that come about?
A resentment, of course.
Oh.
Uh-oh. Gossip.
She shall remain nameless.
Okay.
But it might be her birthday today.
Aww.
Prince Voldemort? He shall who not be named?
I was in a meeting while somebody was at a bar with a bunch of friends. And I was tired of doing stuff alone. So the next time we were out around stuff, I thought, hey, I want to have a fun time. And then I never came back. Because I felt too guilty.
Yeah, the guilt.
And it was a fun time.
Yeah, it was a fun time.
For how long?
For about a year and a half. It was pretty great.
And then what happened?
And then about the last 6 months was not so great.
Yeah, because it's been a couple of years since we've seen you.
Yeah. I drank normal for a while, but...
I gotta say, it didn't really wear on you much. You
look
about the same as when I saw you last.
My job was great. I was really successful.
Functional alcoholic.
Didn't lose very much, but I also didn't gain very much. But
How much did we figure you were spending a month on booze?
$850, $900
Yeah, $850, $900 a month. And I'm like, wow, in 2 years times 24 months, that's a lot. That's $20-something thousand.
Yeah, that's about a car.
Or down payment on a house. Nice down payment on a house.
Yeah, which I need now. So,
and if you think about it, that'd be like two really super nice trips to Tahiti.
Yes.
Like super nice.
Where you could do
some... where you go to Fiji and Tahiti.
Yeah.
You could go to Puerto Vallarta like 30 times for that.
Yeah. I could have paid for my wedding. I could have done all kinds of stuff. But no. I wanted to hang out.
Well, she's still married, yeah?
Yeah. Luckily.
There you go.
Well, you can't really... I mean, you can say, well, yeah, we could have paid for this. We could have paid for that. Well, no, apparently you couldn't have because you had to spend that money in order to get to the point where you...
That's
were
true.
Willing to recover.
Happened for a reason.
Yeah.
It you did. Could say. So it cost me $20,000 to come back is what we're saying.
That's a damn expensive big book right there.
Depends. Depends because, you know, we know people that have 4 and 5 DUIs. That's a little bit more than $20,000.
That's true.
I know a guy that went out and spent $250,000.
Oh, yes. $280,000.
Oh, yeah.
In about...
6 months?
6 months. Did things like he had a car.
He had 2 cars.
Yes.
Which was like an older car.
Yes.
Then he had a much newer Ford Focus. And so he could feel like he was balling. He went to the airport to rent a car, which is the worst place to rent a car. Because they've got you when you're at the airport. And rented a Denali for $300 a day.
See, and you told me the story. Now, why didn't he just buy it?
I know, exactly. For a month. For a month, $9,000 on renting a truck. And I'm like, you could have bought a used Denali easy.
Yeah. But, no, a lot of yets and a lot of no higher power. And
so,
then,
what was the thing that happened to you where you said, jeez. Well, this isn't really working.
Well, you don't have to do your inventory on the air. You realize people are going to hear this.
Well, this is
no, it's
inventory.
Not. It's not an inventory. Because
okay.
Really, it was a close friend that went into the program,
mm-hmm.
and I had not thought about program for so long.
Yeah.
That the insanity was that I was normal and I was having fun, drinking by myself at home every night.
That's of course
because that's a party. Let me tell you, yeah. That was my MO.
So in one discussion about somebody going to AA,
yeah.
The light switch kicked back on, and it was no longer fun anymore. And I realized that I was dying, and it was not fun.
Nope.
Grab onto the life preserver of the program like a drowning man.
Yes.
I was telling Zach, too, about the story of we had another friend that thought she was normal when Shelly was in Cincinnati, where my friend Christopher and I are talking to this girl. And she's like, well, I don't think I'm an alcoholic. Well, how much do you drink? Well, I got drunk 6 of the last 7 nights. How many days did you go on to work with the hangover? 6. So how does this drinking happen? Well, I go and I party with my friends, and when I'm done partying with my friends, I go back to my house and I continue to drink. And I'm like, so you've gotten drunk 6 out of the last 7 nights, you go on to work with a hangover every day, and you're drinking by yourself at home after the party's over.
Yes.
And she goes, yeah. But that's okay. And I'm like, and this guy Chris is looking at me and he's like, seriously? This is a Christopher who was on the show one time. He's like, you don't see this at all as a problem? And she's like, no. And Christopher right then is like, I'll save a seat for you.
And how old was she?
She's 20.
20.
Yeah.
Well, and see, the thing is, she doesn't think she has a problem, so she doesn't.
Yeah. That's true. But
one can proclaim for another whether they're an alcoholic. That's
right.
Bullshit.
Except for Bruce. Bruce
Except
always
for
can.
Bruce,
oh,
yeah.
That's bullshit.
Bruce Almighty. He just tells everybody.
No, but I always love the story that you always tell about getting off the elevator whenever you want to. And I still have a lot of shit, and I'd like to get off now before
you
lose it.
Before reaching the roof of the Alano Club.
Before reaching the sub basement of the elevator.
Bruce's special gift to the world. He
yes.
was not a good example. He was a horrible warning.
You know what my sponsor told me one time, a previous sponsor. He said, "He says, well, you're here. You're still alive for some purpose. He goes, I don't know what it is, but you're still alive for some purpose, or God would have knocked you off a long time ago." And I thought about that for a minute. And I tend to try and help a lot of people in the program. I'm like, what if my purpose was some dude I helped yesterday?
Yeah.
You're
toast.
So
the clock is up. I've done my thing.
Yep, you're dead.
God's going to snatch me at any moment. It's going to be
start
like, yep,
planning your services.
Your purpose is over. I'm done. Oh.
Except for the other couple thousand people you've probably helped since then.
Now, Shelly, have you had people you sponsored that were retreads?
Well, no, most of mine aren't really retreads so much as they are bye-byes. I mean, they just they don't really want to get new tires. They want to limp along the way they are, so they just leave.
They're not going to see Manny Moe and Jack the Pet Boys to get new tires?
No,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, what step do they usually leave?
Three.
Three? Oh, okay.
You still got a couple to go.
Yeah, well, that I have had a couple, well, three sponsees actually that, oh my goodness, what a pretty sunset. Sorry, I'm being a little ADD here.
Oh, sun over the water, Laguna Beach.
It's beautiful.
Awesome out the studio windows.
Can you hear the waves crashing?
No, that's the washing machine. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
No, where was I? Oh, I've had three sponsees that got into doing their amends. They got up to their ninth step and they were starting their amends and suddenly decided that I was not the sponsor for them. So I kind of lost them mid-process.
Well, because you made them do it.
Well, no, it's usually because, see, here's the
that
thing.
That one's a retread. One of them's a retread.
One of them is now a retread. She went and got a different sponsor and things went sideways and now she has a retread.
Okay.
The thing is, I tell people when they ask me to sponsor them, I'm very honest with them. I say, I am not a kick-ass sponsor. If you need
your
somebody,
your nickname is Kick-Ass Shelly.
Yes, but not for that reason.
Oh,
if you need somebody to ride herd on you, I'm not that person. You're a grown up. I'm a grown up. I'm not the boss of you. You're either going to work the steps or you're not. And I'm not going to
babysit,
run you down, or babysit you to get you to do this. So if that's the kind of sponsor you need, then I'm not the person for you.
You also get a lot of young sponsees, don't you?
I usually get the young ones, and strangely enough, I usually get the ones that have non-Christian faith.
Huh.
And I sing in the choir and I'm extremely Christian. I think it's because I think that there are many paths to God.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm particularly more right than anybody else.
Yeah.
And there seems to be some switch that gets flipped at some point in the program with a lot of people where suddenly, you know, it's all about their buddy Jesus, and I think that puts people off. I mean, my buddy is Jesus, but that doesn't necessarily mean everybody is.
Yeah.
So I think that's how I end up with the people that
And also the numbers game in our meetings.
That's true.
You're usually the only one there.
There's usually me and maybe one other woman that
with
has
time.
A year or two.
With time.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's not a
lot. And when the heck did that happen?
That happens.
That's always been
that
way.
Well, you got to look at it this way. First of all, and I have a theory on this, but first of all, there's way more men in AA than women.
Right.
And I don't think it's because men tend to be alcoholics more. I think it's because men will take care of alcoholic women longer than women will take care of alcoholic men.
Right.
True.
Because a woman's alcoholic, a guy will put up with a lot of shit for a long time.
Yes, you did.
It's the power of P. You know, the power of P is what allows that to happen.
P?
Kitty cat.
Meow. Okay. Why don't you say it?
The power of pussy.
Yeah, I hate that word, but...
Yeah.
Well, when you say it's the power of pee, I have this vision of a woman standing over a guy peeing on him.
We're not talking about Adolf Hitler and weird golden shower crap like that. But the thing is, because guys will take care of women last longer out there because, you know, let's say you've got a husband who's working hard and maybe it's a stay-at-home wife and she's getting plowed all the time. Well, unless he divorces her, she can do that for a long time. Guys who are living with a woman, even if she's the breadwinner and the guy's doing nothing, women just won't take shit for that long. They'll just be like,
"Yeah,"
because the
That's
power
because
of
we're
D,
not stupid.
Yeah,
the power of D is not as good as the power of P.
No, because we can purchase the power of D more readily and quickly than you can.
Oh. You know, women don't have to purchase the power of D.
Yes. Well, also, if you think of the meetings, all the newcomers that come in, all the stories I hear from the young females. Is that daddy always took care of them and bailed them out of everything.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
And it takes them a lot longer to hit bottom because they get bailed out a
lot.
And
the fathers look at the sons and go, F you.
Yeah.
F you.
Be a man. Stand up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sit in jail for a while, you bastard. my theory, like, with the women thing is guys are constantly trying to swoop on girls in the program.
Yes.
Because there's way more guys than women. So they feel if I don't get one right away, I'm never going to get them. But see, women, like let's say a woman wants to get laid.
Oh, goes, here we go.
Goes to a bar. And let's say she's, let's say a guy goes to a bar. He wants to get laid. And he's a good looking guy. He's like a 7 or 8. And he's a good looking. He has like a 50-50 chance of getting laid. Maybe 60-40 if he's really good looking. You know, like guys like model quality. He's got a 60-40 chance. A mediocre looking woman, like a 5.
Yeah.
And see, to me, a 5 isn't ugly and they're not great. I mean, they're just as average plain Jane as you could be. A lot of people say a 5 is completely ugly. I don't agree with that. But they're average, just as patently average as you can be. They walk into a bar, they have a 100% chance of getting laid. They'll walk up to a table full of guys. Who wants to take me home and bang the crap out of me? Some guy will be like, I'll see you guys in a little while.
Bruce.
Every time. Oh, no, yeah. Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Welcome to the rampant sexism portion of Recovery 101.
Shelly's beating host right now. Bruce she started
Burnett,
beating.
Joined by Zach G.
OG.
I'm just here for the. I'm just a retread. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just sitting here.
Zach attack.
Well, what I'm baffled by is that I end up in our meetings because I did take a couple of years in the middle where I went to some other meetings because I got sick of hearing all your stories. I mean, honestly, I did. And you got probably sick of hearing me. But then I went to the other meetings and I realized that the stories were all the same. It was just different faces.
Yeah.
So then I went back to hanging out with my friends. But there used to be, in both of the groups, the regular groups that we attend, women that were ahead of me. You know, my sponsor was always at those meetings. There were, you know, 2 or 3 other women that had at least 9-10 years that were always there. They're not there anymore.
No.
And it's not that they've gone out. They've just
gone to other meetings.
Well, or stay home, or they go and do other things. It's like, it's almost like that portion of their lives is over.
The cure.
You're spot. Oh, my.
The cure. We can't discuss this book on the air.
Oh.
Because I will get sued.
Are you studying, Bruce?
We have the book right
I read
here.
About half of it.
Is that the cure?
Yes, that's the cure the book.
Oh, you
it's
should put that.
Breakthrough 3-step program from the world-renowned Passages Malibu Addiction Cure Center.
We can't discuss that book of the air because I will get sued.
You should just put the big book in that casing and
give
it to somebody.
Really?
I have zero. I'll just say this much. I have zero respect and very little tolerance for anything that man has to say, having read what I've read thus far of that book. There.
Like I said, I think I said it a few shows ago, I called Passages Malibu one time, and I played retread. I played newcomer. I said, I really need help. You know, you guys have the cure, right? And they're like, yes, we have the cure. And I'm like, great, because I can't do this anymore. And they're like, oh, we can really help you. And I'm like, because I want to be able to go back to drinking normally again. And they said, no, you can never drink again. I'm like, how is that a cure?
Well, yeah.
Because I'm a diabetic, and if you cured me of diabetes, I could eat whatever I want all the time, and I don't have to take insulin anymore.
Yeah.
So you're telling me that even though you're curing my alcoholism, I can never, like, have a glass of wine with dinner? They're like, no. And I'm like, how is that a cure? And they hung up on me.
Well, maybe it really is an allergy. It never goes away.
Well, and I do have to preface my the disclaimer on my antipathy for that particular organization. I don't care how people get sober. There are lots of pathways to getting sober. But so far in my research into this institution, I think that they may actually end up damaging people.
Well, I tested it for 2 years and
it didn't work.
It didn't really work, no.
The cure. Now, so Zach, we'll start with Zach. So Zach, you're a retread.
Yes.
What do you think you need to do differently?
Everything, because it obviously didn't work the first time.
That's a good answer.
Yeah.
He's ready.
We hope.
Yeah.
I have high hopes for Zach.
Me too. This time.
Yeah. Shelly?
What?
You got a sponsor who's a retread.
A sponsor? Yeah, because if my sponsor's a retread, I'm in serious trouble because I've had the same one for 8 years.
Zach's sponsor's a retread.
Oh.
Okay, I meant recent retread.
Touche.
Yes, touche.
What? Poist.
So I have a what?
So let's say you got a sponsor who's a retread. Do you do anything different with them than you would do with a new sponsee? I mean, here's someone who has some program experience. Maybe it's even someone who's worked through all the steps before or thought they worked the steps right before. Do you treat them different? Do you do anything different?
No, I would do the same thing because that's what I know how to do. I can't sponsor anybody any differently than my sponsor sponsored me. The difference is, and I'll give you an example. I don't want to say famous, but a rather well-known person in the program, Eddie I. He's passed away now. Rest in peace.
Motorcycle
actually,
guy.
Yeah, actually, he used to ride with my dad.
He was in Manzanar at one time.
Yes, he was. He was a cyclical retread. He went out every 7 years like clockwork. He'd come back in, he'd work all his steps, everything would be great. Hit his seventh birthday, bam, he's gone.
7 year itch.
And yeah, that's what everybody said. And every time he came back in, he just kept doing the same thing, you know, redoing the steps, redoing it the same way he did before. And it wasn't until they discovered the major item that he left off his inventory all those years that he was able to stay sober until he died.
Yes.
So it's not necessarily the process. It's what you put into it.
So I
probably wouldn't do anything differently.
I tell people all the time, if you want your life to get better, quit drinking.
Yeah.
If you want your life to get really good, then work the steps. Shelly, what would your final words on the subject of better retread than a blowout be?
Where there's life, there's hope.
Ooh. Zach?
Practice spiritual growth rather than spiritual perfection.
Loophole.
You know, I sound like a broken record a lot of times at this portion of the show, but... If you like what you're getting, keep doing what you're doing. Like, if Zach liked what he was getting when he was still drinking, he wouldn't be sitting here right now. If you like what you're getting, keep doing what you're doing. If you don't like what you're getting, do something different.
And I would like to say I'm very happy that Zach is back. I was very happy to see you.
Thank you. I'm glad I'm on the right side of the dirt to be here.
Yes, me too. Although, you know, yes. I was going to say, if you hadn't come back and things had gotten better for you and you just weren't an alcoholic, that would be okay, too.
Yeah.
But the fact that you've recognized this and come back, I'm really happy for you.
Yes, thank you.
And please come back again.
And I
to the show.
Keep coming back. It works if you work it.
Yes, exactly.
And I kind of hate to say this, but I'm going to throw it in at the end because by the time this show goes up, it will have happened. I'm feeling really sorry about my friend David.
Yeah.
Because he's in hospice while we're recording the show, so by the time the show goes up, he's going to be making coffee at the big meeting in the sky.
Yes.
No, he will be stealing all the cookies at the big meeting in the sky.
Yes.
Yes, he will.
Yes, because that's what he always did at our meetings. That's
my favorite memory.
That's exactly what he will be doing.
Like men who have lost their legs, he would always have the best comment.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You know, David had his legs amputated, and he'd sit there and he'd go, like men who have lost their legs. He's like, God damn it.
Well, no, at first he would say, like men who have lost their legs, and what was he saying?
They never grow new ones.
That's what you think, or something
like that.
Yeah,
that's what you think.
Well, he had, they because they gave him some new ones.
Yes.
So, Shelly.
What?
We have a friend back east. And out here.
Oh, we do?
Yes. If you go to 12stepgazette.com, you can read the 12 Step Gazette. And if you would like the 12 Step Gazette Southern California edition, it is 12stepgazette.com/IE.
Now, Zach. What if someone wanted to listen to the show?
Oh, you could go to iTunes.
You can.
Where else can you go, Bruce?
You can go to recovery101.net.
That works.
You can go to recovery101.rocks.
Okay.
You can go to last30days.com.
Ooh.
Written out 30 or with the 30. All of those will get you there. You can check out on Facebook. Sometimes we've got shows posted up there. If you are Facebook friendly, you can like the Recovery 101 radio show fan page. If you'd like to join the Recovery 101 group, the secret group, you can message Shelly Burnett or Bruce Burnett. We can add you to that.
Or Bill Piper.
Or Bill P. Piper. Or you can also, if you're looking at Bill Piper, you'll be looking in the Fresno area. You can also message the Recovery 101 radio show fan page, and we can add you to that group. That's if you want to be anonymous online. We've got an email address at recovery101radio@gmail.com. You can send topics and whatever you want to that. And if you If you have a Recovery Idol submission, you can send it to that. The only thing we ask with that is that you mention the show name, Recovery 101 Radio or Recovery 101. If you want to mention show hosts, you can.
But it's not required.
If you don't want to, then we can lump it.
It will not affect your chances of being a permanent jingle in any way. Right.
We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101. Rule 62.
Don't take yourself so damn seriously.
Sweet.
Dude.
You are being Mark.
I am. I don't care.
Shelly, who's the lead out music by?
I've been reading your lips from across the room. The lead out music tonight is by Rusty Golden.
Rusty Golden from his album Sober.
Ah.
Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
Oh, we're out. I'm being Mark.
See ya.
See ya. Take care of you.
Clear. It took where I was going to finally get here.